So Christmas this year doesn't look much like previous Christmases. I mean, maybe that looks like you remember it, but I'm not actually there. And neither are you. Most of us are staying home this year, foregoing visits with family and friends, canceling vacation plans. Even the worship service tonight is not typical. We're not greeting our friends. We're not hugging each other. We're not listening to a choir or brass instruments. We are not in the sanctuary, bathed in the warm glow of our little individual candles. We're not circling the sanctuary. And while it's probably little comfort, we are not the first Christians who've had to forego Christmas celebrations. Long before the Grinch stole Christmas from the Who's down in Whoville, long before Ebenezer Scrooge spat out his first bah humbug, the British Parliament outlawed Christmas celebrations. Beginning in 1647, the Puritan government with Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector at the helm, banned all nativity celebrations. In the first half of the 17th century, the 25th of December was a public holiday, and all places of work would close. People attended church services and public places were decorated with holly and rosemary and ivy, and celebrations included dancing and singing, drinking and exchanging presents, and festive feasts included roast beef and mince pies, writes English historian Professor Bernard Kapp. But for more than a century, the Puritan movement had pushed back against such celebrations. Puritan leader Philip Stubbs suggested such revelry was a great dishonor of God and a wasteful festival that threatened Christian beliefs and encouraged immoral activities, dancing and drinking among them. And so in January of 1645, Parliament produced a new directory for public worship, made it clear that festival days, including Christmas, were not to be celebrated, but to be spent in respectful contemplation. And those rules held until 1660. More than 20 years without church celebrations or family gatherings. Like the Puritans, Dr. Seuss's Grinch wanted to stop Christmas from coming, not on religious grounds. So far as we know, the Grinch was not of any particular religious persuasion. He simply suffered from a medical condition called small-heartedness. His heart, in fact, was two sizes too small, so small that he didn't have room in his heart for the joy of Christmas or the generosity that grows out of love. And so the festive celebrations of the Who's, who lived in the valley below his mountain cave, annoyed him so much that he sought to steal their Christmas. But despite his efforts to derail their joy, joy and Christmas still came to Whoville, and the Grinch discovered a profound truth. Maybe you know these words by heart better than I do. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is a little bit more. Even when festivities are banned, even when celebrations are stolen, Christmas still comes. Because Christmas, with its joy and peace and love and hope, is a gift from God that comes to our hearts. The first Christmas can't have felt like much of a celebration for Mary and Joseph. There were extraordinary circumstances around the conception of this child. The couple not yet married, Mary's pregnancy might have been viewed as scandalous. The census required of them a week-long journey to Bethlehem, crossing desert and barren hills with Mary's pregnancy well advanced. Then there was that struggle to find a suitable place for her to give birth, which culminated in a manger beside the livestock. What a sad time for Mary, no mother or sister or aunt to coach and attend to her. And yet, in spite of all the complications and the challenges that could rob Mary and Joseph of any joy or happiness, that perfect gift of divine love pushed its way into the world. And I have no doubt that Mary and Joseph took that child in their arms and marveled at his 10 tiny fingers and his 10 tiny toes and his perfect little nose and felt the absolute awe of witnessing the miracle of life. Our worship leading to tonight has embraced the theme of belief, even when circumstances challenge us. It's inspired by the words of a poem said to have been found on the wall of a basement of a German home after World War II, words attributed to a Jewish person in hiding from the Nazis. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I can't feel it. I believe in God, even when God is silent. Nothing can stop Christmas from coming. It is a gift. A gift of love and grace, of peace and reconciliation, of hope. It is nothing less than a miracle, this gift from God to us. May the miracle of Christmas fill you with love and joy and peace and hope. May the light of Christmas shine in your heart, encouraging you to believe even when. May the gift of Christmas be yours every day of the year ahead, enabling you to share with others all that you have received. This we believe, even when. Amen.